Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, white fans, and welcome to this issue. Knuckle up on Sports Action Network Radio. Hello, echo here. It's your host, George Bowley, and as always, sitting in, there we go, Josh Davis, an editor at the MMA Corner, be joining us shortly, stuck in his daytime job and duties, but we got a lot of to talk about. We have UFC 192, we have Gustafson versus Daniel Cormier, the UFC light heavyweight champion. You know, and that's going to be happening in Texas. Some other news? Well, really nothing major besides everybody waiting for this particular event. We had some amazing results. I think they're amazing, actually, with the knockout, of Gegard Mousasi by Uriah Hall. You know, it can't happen. Definitely can't happen. So, you know, there is, you know, what can you say? If Uriah Hall shows up, like I said, he can definitely do it. Definitely worth studying all the tape, and he definitely capitalized on Gegard's, on his mistakes, if I'm just calling a spade, something that was predictable, baited him into flinching so he could catch him with that back kick. Something trained, something landed. So hats off to Uriah Hall on that win. Let's see where it puts him in and how it puts him in the rankings. Let me see. We have a stacked card, really. It's really a very interesting card that we're going to see here for UFC 192. We have a very good card on Fox Sports 1. Benavidez is fighting there. You know, we have Hill fighting there on that card. Let me see. We have actually four fights. Not two fights. We have four fights on the early Fight Pass card. And that should actually be interesting as well. Right after the Fox card, or I guess streaming on Fight Pass October 3rd. We also have Pancras 270. Wow. And that'll have Nam Phan versus Maine. On the undercard of this fight, we have co-main event Hendricks versus Woodley, which is a very interesting fight. We also have Ryan Bader versus Rashad Evans. You know, Rashad hasn't been in the cage in a long time, you know, so that should be an interesting fight, wrestler versus wrestler, and both have good striking ability. We have Jordan versus Ruslan, and both of these guys are very athletic. You can't put anything past Sean Jordan. You know, for his weight and his size, he's extremely, extremely, extremely athletic, and, you know, Ruslan is going to have his hands full with a guy who knows how to use what he, you know, use his weight and his ability, in my opinion. So that's a very exciting fight. And then we have Juliana Pena, 12-ranked fighter, versus Jessica Ai, you know, 6-ranked fighter. A victory for Juliana will definitely move her up in the rankings. And, you know, we'll definitely see. It's a risky fight for Jessica, but you know, these are fights that you kind of have to take at some point in time. You never know. And you really can't depend on rankings. You have to really depend on the person that is fighting that day, you know, because they could have had a great camp, you know. So we'll definitely see how this card goes, but I'm pretty excited about it, if I'm just being honest. About this card, you know, this is one of the more decent cards that the UFC has put on in a long time without just throwing a card out there and just having a show to have a show. You know, this is really one of the good cards for October that's coming up. So we'll definitely see how this works and how it all comes together. Still waiting for Josh to call in. Let's take a break and come on back and see if he's back by then.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.
All right, we're still waiting on him. Let's see if we have any other news that we could talk about or pretense to talk about until Josh gets on. Bellator's next event will be on the 23rd. I think we spoke about, you know, Pride coming back in some form or fashion, or its reincarnation. MMA news per se is really light this week. You know, and I guess I'm just actually seeing this, that wow. Johnny Hendricks forced out of his co-main event fight. Wow, I'm just seeing this.
You're just
going
seeing
on,
that.
Brother? How are you?
Yeah. Let me elaborate on this, because I've actually talked to Johnny Hendricks' management company this morning. So here's the deal: the guy came in to fight week weighing 200 pounds. And he started, you know, cutting not yesterday, but the day before, and basically got down to 188 pounds and was hoping that he was going to lose 18 pounds from last night to weigh-ins this afternoon. And it just wasn't happening. He spent 3 hours in the sauna this morning and didn't lose a single pound. And at that point, that's when they went to the UFC and were like, hey, this isn't happening. We're not going to make weight. Wasn't even a discussion to do a different weight or a catch weight or anything like that. The bout was immediately pulled.
Yeah, it looks like he's actually blaming, you know, Mike Doce for this.
He is. You know, he's been with Dolce for a while, and I want to say it was one of the fights with Robbie. He actually missed weight the first time and had to take an additional hour and lose the half pound, whatever it was. And again, at that time he kind of made a comment about Dolce, but basically said the scale that they had was just a half pound different than the scale that the UFC used or the commission used at weigh-ins. I don't think that was the way it went down. I think he was legitimately overweight, and that was that. But today, there's no excuse for this. You were just overweight. You came in extremely overweight. There are pictures circulating the internet right now of Johnny without his shirt on. And, you know, I don't want to be rude to anybody or anything like that, but he's overweight. He has, you know, jelly rolls. He's overweight, does not look good in these pictures. And they were taken this week.
Right.
And, you know, and so I love Johnny. I think he's a solid dude, but whether Dolce is your nutritionist or not, this is your fault. I mean, you are in control of your own body. You can't allow yourself to blow up to 212 pounds. That's on you. That's not on your nutritionist. That's not anybody else. That's you.
Yeah, and I get it. You know, look, no doubt about it. I agree with you 110%. When I was training, I made sure I told you my fighting weight is 215. When I started getting there, I was the one that stepped on the scale and made sure that I was close to weight and close to where I needed to be. I didn't need a nutritionist to tell me that, you know. So there definitely is a problem there. But, you know, I'm just amazed at the UFC and even his coach, his head coach. You know, a head coach's job is just not meant to train the fighter. It's always meant to keep his mind right, keep him focused as a head coach. I mean, just like a football head coach. You would go and you would talk to your supporting team to find out where he is, what he's doing. You know what I mean? What's happening? Is he on weight? Is he not on weight? You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
These are all things.
And to me, weight, I mean, yes, Johnny's got to be responsible for himself, first and foremost. But weight is a team issue. Not just your coaches and your training partners, but, you know, again, I manage fighters all the time. I am constantly on them about their weight. And all the fighters that I've ever represented, we missed weight one time, and I again, take responsibility for this. Yes, I blame the fighter for not making weight, but he was living in my house at the time. I take responsibility. I should have cooked him better meals. I should have been more on top of it. But again, they have to take responsibility for themselves. But it's a team thing. Everyone has to play a part when it comes to someone cutting weight, especially when it's the co-main event of a fight that could lead to a title shot. I mean, come on. You need to be coming in underweight.
Right. No doubt about it.
And so
what's the UFC going to do to fill this void? I mean, who's the co-main event?
So the... I'm not sure who the co-main event is yet. Yeah, part of that is because I'm driving and I can't check all my emails. But Joseph Benavidez and Akhmedov for whoever is the bout that they bumped up to the pay-per-view. And I believe that quite possibly might end up being the co-main event.
I hope not. And the only reason
I hope not
is because, you know, Rashad Evans and Bader are there. And these are two guys who are in the 205 division that matter. You know, you can say what you want to say about Rashad, but, you know, he can do a main event and a co-main event, you know, and to pull. I understand them pulling Benavidez and Ali up to the main card, but to pull them to the main card and make them a co-main event, I think that would just be a slap in the face, really, to Rashad and
Bader.
Ryan.
I think that should have been the co-main event to begin with. Not that I didn't love the matchup between Johnny Hendricks and Tyrone Woodley. I thought that was going to be one heck of a fight. But you have a guy in Rashad Evans. Yes, he's been out for almost 2 years, but he's still a big draw. People are still going to buy this event just because they want to see what he can do against Ryan Bader. So, I personally, and again, no one cares what we think, but I think that should have been the main event or the co-main event to begin.
Yeah, look, I definitely agree. I definitely agree.
Well, but again, they're not asking us what we think. They're doing what they want to do. They're the UFC.
Yeah. What can you say?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. All I can do is say I hope that they put Ryan Bader and Rashad Evans in that co-main event slot. That's all I can say.
Well, I guess we'll see shortly, you know, how they plan on doing that.
Yep, exactly. But, again, I just cannot go back to the disappointment. You know, I never call myself a fan, but I'm a fan. I mean, that's why I got into covering the sport. That's why I got into covering other sports, is because I was a fan or a player or whatever to begin with. As a fan, man, I'm extremely disappointed in Johnny Hendricks. You know, you expect more from professional athletes. You expect them to be able to come in on weight, so on and so forth. And I, you know, again, the fact that the UFC didn't even tell him, hey, just cut as much weight as you can, you know, get down to 175, whatever. pay the fine and we'll do that fight. The fact that that wasn't even discussed lets me know that this has happened more times than what we know about.
Right. And that's true. That's absolutely true, you know. And, you know, what can you say at this particular moment? Just for them to cancel the fight like that, you know, you know, I feel bad for Tyrone Woodley. I really do. Because he doesn't have a chance, really, to recoup and get his money back or make money on the fact that Johnny didn't miss weight. He's trained for a fight, and he's not going to be able to fight. You see what I mean?
Yep.
It's just painful. It's just painful.
It is my understanding, and I have not got 100% confirmation on this, but it's my understanding that the UFC is not only going to give Woodley his show money, but they're actually going to pay out his win bonus.
Pay out a win bonus?
Pay out a win bonus.
Okay.
And I think part of the reason why they're doing that is because they didn't give him the option to, you know, do the fight at a different weight. And so I think they probably feel that. Now, again, like I said, that has not been confirmed. What I've been told is the discussion that they have had is just paying them in full.
Right.
And to be real honest, I know this is going to sound crazy, and I know they can't do this, but find Johnny Hendricks, you know? He's the reason why this isn't happening. So find Johnny Hendricks. Take Tyrone Woodley's purse from Johnny. If Johnny wants to fight again, make him, you know, make him pay a fine.
Right.
Now,
right.
Obviously, I know they can't. I know they can't do that. But again, I think that if they did, I think these fighters would take making weight a lot serious. You know, I'll use Anthony Gutierrez, shark bait, from the show, the Tough Show, when he missed weight as an example. The day before weigh-ins, he's eating a fried sandwich and an eclair. That's
right.
Not taking weight cutting seriously. And I think if there was more of a punishment, I think people would take it more seriously. And again, you know, if you're Johnny Hendricks and you're blaming Mike Dolce, then, you know, maybe you have a lawsuit against him. I don't know. But what I will say is so many fighters are missing weight these days. It's almost as often as fighters testing positive for banned substance.
And right.
Personally, I have an issue with that. I mean, something needs to be done to get this addressed. And it's funny, you know, I was talking to Jeremy Horn about this, and he's a big proponent of same-day weigh-ins. Having, you know, you weigh in, you get 2 hours to recuperate, and then you fight. And, you know, he says that makes it so people can't cut 30 pounds, that they truly have to fight at their natural weight.
Look, I agree. It happens in wrestling. And I think that in order for the sport, that's what actually has to happen. But this is a professional sport, and that's what everybody will run to shortly. You know what I mean? It's a professional sport. You know, how can you X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So I don't know what to tell you. Yeah.
No. But this card took a big hit. I mean, those three fights were carrying the pay-per-view. I mean, the whole card is stacked. It's a solid card. But the pay-per-view was truly being carried by Bader, Rashad, Woodley, Hendricks, and then the main event of Gus and Cormier. Taking that fight away really hurts the pay-per-view portion of that card.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. What other news is out there besides this?
Well, you know, that's the big news. That's obviously, you know, taken over everything. The UFC actually had planned on making a couple announcements today that they won't make until probably Tuesday of next week when they do their media release. So
anything major, we're going to have to wait until Tuesday.
Okay. Okay. Any other organizations out there?
You know, nothing is confirmed, but again, we've been talking about the co-branding of Glory and Bellator, and just looking at upcoming schedules, the more I see what they're releasing, the more I think that, yeah, come January 1st or New Year's Eve when we see the new promotion, that's what we have to look forward to.
Okay. You know, look.
Pride 2.0.
Or yeah.
Pride wannabe 2.0.
You know, I mean, yeah. Look, you never know. Some businesses fail. CEO goes to another business, learns from his mistake, and he becomes a success. You know what I mean? There's no doubt about it. And him being in the same sport of mixed martial arts, he can go back and say, hey, you know, I've learned from my mistakes. These were my mistakes. You know, like we said before, Pride was a brand that I didn't think that they needed to destroy, but they did. You know, a strong brand. So how they fix that, how they bring that back, how they reinvent that, it may be good for the sport. You know, it may be good for the sport. You never know. You never know. But you just got to sit and wait and see.
Well, and while we're talking about it, I will tell you one of the names that's recently been thrown around for Fedor's opponent. It's not going to happen because there's another organization involved that under no circumstances will allow this to happen. But Antonio Big Nog Nogueira. Now, if that doesn't tell you everything that you need to know about where their heads are at and what they want to do, then I don't know what does.
Right.
You know, and the UFC is
that Big Nog still under UFC contract, or did he get released?
Well, the UFC said they will never give him a fight again, but they made him the official ambassador to Brazil. Whatever that means, I don't know. I'm assuming it's just the title, and they're going to, you know, pay him out the rest of his contract in monthly increments so he doesn't have to fight again. But I don't think that the UFC would release Nogueira to do this fight.
Well, not for another organization, but if they're not going to give him another fight, you know, why not?
And they're not. Dana's made it very clear that he will not offer Nogueira another fight. After the Stefan Struve fight, he said that Nogueira was done and gave the spiel about how he doesn't force guys into retirement, so on and so forth, but he wasn't going to offer him another fight.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they know something that we don't know. Maybe Big Nog approached them. You never know. You know
well,
what I mean?
And that's kind of why I brought this up. Because like I said, I don't see this fight happening, but I question, did Nog approach them? Because he still wants to fight. He's made that very clear. He still thinks he can compete. So, yes, I think that is a very valid question. And honestly, it's a question that I would like to have a legitimate answer to. Even with the connections that I have, I don't think that I personally will ever get that, a true answer to that. But, yeah, I wonder if he or Ed Soares, who's his manager, if Ed contacted them or, you know, how that worked out.
Yeah. You know, look, that would be a rematch to a fight that happened, what, almost 20 years ago, if I'm being
yep.
honest. It would be a fight that somebody wants to see. Where Big Nog is now, probably not. You know, but the UFC has always been good at, what's the word? Washing their hands of fighters when they're done with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or they feel like that they can't do anything else with the UFC. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Bellator pulls Wanderlei Silva out of retirement.
You know, to be honest, if Wanderlei wins his lawsuit against the Nevada State Athletic Commission and gets his lifetime ban overturned, absolutely he's going to Bellator.
Yeah. Talk about his lifetime ban. I don't think we ever did on the show.
Well, this to me, and again, I'm not a lawyer, nor do I claim to be, but I do work in the legal system. To me, this seems unconstitutional. I don't know what jurisdictional authority they have to give him a lifetime ban that would ban him from fighting anywhere in the United States. You know, they're the Nevada State Athletic Commission. And so, I guess I could kind of see it in the state of Nevada, but even then I can't understand the lifetime ban because they've never done it before. They've had other events that were just as egregious in their own nature where they didn't do anything like this. So I think Vandy's legal team absolutely will win this when it reaches the appellate court. But it's very interesting. So basically they said that he was a repeat offender who refused to take an out-of-competition test. And by the rules of their own committee, that is a direct violation, and it is punishable by the quote-unquote lifetime ban. And so they gave it to him. They are their own police. They're running their own rules. They're their own judge, jury, and executioner. It, how they get away with this is beyond comprehension to me. You know, that would be like you and I just creating our own, I don't know, our own league and then having our own rules and not work, doing illegal stuff and not worrying about the recourse from, you know, the police. And I don't, at this point in time, I don't understand how they're getting away with it. I would also say
that they're getting away with it simply because of the relationships that all the commissions have in the country. You know, it's just easier that way. Everybody knows so goes Nevada, so goes New Jersey, so goes Texas. You know, New York and Nevada, even New York, believe it or not. I don't think New York has even crossed paths because I think Mike Tyson, when he boxed at one point in time, he had an issue with Nevada. And he couldn't get a license in New York. And as a matter of fact, I think that's why they sent the Buster Douglas fight to Japan, if my memory serves me correctly.
That
so everybody
exactly
gives
right.
the whole little – everybody gives me the – you know, I mean, excuse me, everybody just gives each other the nod as to, okay, this is what it is. We'll honor that. But, you know, how can he be under any agreement unless he was on agreement with them to say I'll take out of fight testing, you know? And they just say, no, this is what it is. Well, we're sick of this, and boom. And then every other state says, well, because he refused in Nevada that, you know, he must be X, Y, and Z. I mean, absolutely he's going to win. But the fact of the matter, too, is the fact that he's also losing income, fight income, because of them. What's his recourse there?
It's a direct violation of his 15th Amendment right, which basically says, in this country, you have the right to pursue happiness. You have the right to pursue employment so you can feed your family, so on and so forth. They've essentially violated that constitutional right. And, yeah, once it gets to the appellate court, I am confident that they're going to lose just based on that fact alone. Because, again, it is a constitutional right. They've now told him that he can't fight. I mean, no disrespect to Wanderlei Silva when I say this whatsoever. Fighting's all he has. He didn't go to college. He doesn't have a college degree to fall back on. You know, it's not like he can go into another field or anything like that. He doesn't have those options. He grew up as a fighter. His education came from shoot-a-box back in the day.
Yeah.
That's what he learned. That's how he knows how to provide for himself.
and they've taken away his right to do that. And no, I get a suspension, a lifetime ban, no.
Well, Fight fans, we have it there. Like I said, don't forget, for this or any other episodes, you can go to the Google Play Marketplace and download the free Sports Action Network mobile app. For the latest news and information, go to the MMA Corner. That's themmacorner.com. And check out Scrap Fight Magazine. The October issue should be up within the first week of October. Look for us by next week. All right, everybody, stay knuckled up. I want to thank you for sitting in, brother. I know you were busy today.
Loved it.
Everybody, stay knuckled up. We'll talk next week.